This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. This is Enterprise, and I'm Rich Bradbury. Of course, this is Powering Through the Pandemic. Now, when your business relies on face-to-face interaction to collect data and research, it can be a little tricky when you're not allowed to be face-to-face. So how does a market research company deal with this challenge during the MCO and during the CMCO? And how will they adapt to these challenges when it comes to the new normal that we're all going through? I managed to get Sophie Cox, the Managing Director of Firestar Research in Deir el-Rahad, on the phone and have a little bit of a chat. BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. On the phone with me right now, I have Sophie Cox. She's the Managing Director of Firestar. Sophie, I know you don't like this question, as you've just alluded to in the quick interview then. Please introduce yourself, the name of your company, and what it is exactly that you guys do.
Hi, Rich. Thanks for inviting me to share with you. I'm Sophie. I run Firestar. Firestar is basically a marketing consultancy, but what we do is we focus on the people who are using products and services. So we talk to a lot of people, we observe what they're doing, we understand their lives, and we use that information and analyze that information to help our clients make business decisions which are based on human behavior and human needs.
Oh, I see. Can you give me an example?
Yeah, so maybe a client might come to us and they might want to understand a very specific problem. They've had a dip in sales or they have a new product to introduce. We might talk to people conventionally through focus groups or unconventionally, maybe by going and hanging out with them in, I don't know, Mamax or wherever. And we will try and understand the landscape for that product and understand what's been going on and what's led the clients to be in the position they're going in. So we might understand what people think about brands, the client's brand, competitor brands. We might understand how they are using particular products or categories. We might understand specific reactions to certain ideas, new packaging ideas, new product ideas, new advertising ideas. And we'll kind of distill all that information and analyze it, and go back and help the client resolve whatever challenges or opportunities they have in front of them.
How has that MCO been treating you guys over at Firestar? What changed during that period?
Yeah, it's been quite a big deal for us, I would say. Mostly what we do is talk to people or go and hang out with people, and obviously that's really not been an option. So we've had to really think about how we can adapt some of the techniques and methodologies that we use, how we can bring them online, how we can change the way that we interact with people so we still get that really good understanding of everyday people, but we also are mindful of MCO regulations, social distancing, things like that. There's obviously been a huge slowdown in requests and inquiries as well. I think everyone, particularly early on, was really just pressing pause from everyone from a client side, really just pressing pause and thinking about cash flow, budgets moving forward. Marketing is often something that gets cut fairly early on in proceedings. Not always a good idea to do that, but it is often the case. So we're, from a business management point of view, we're obviously having to think about our cash flow and our management as well.
Right. Now, in our email exchange, we had a you basically said that there are specific challenges when it comes to doing what you do here in Asia. Can you elaborate a little bit what you meant by that? Are the challenges like linguistic? Are they cultural? What are they?
Yeah, if we start with generally and globally, I think that there are challenges with moving, particularly the qualitative research side of what we do, the talking to people, understanding people, moving that from offline or face-to-face to online. A lot of the background of that industry is in psychology and psychoanalysis. So, for example, we rely a lot on nonverbal cues. So if we have a group of people and one of my staff is moderating, there are a lot of nonverbal cues that we rely on for interpretation, but also that we rely on to make the group feel comfortable, make the group dynamic work. And that's much, much harder to transfer online. Things like eye contact, moving around, body position are tools that we no longer have available to us. And you just don't get the same level of commitment and engagement online. I think it's easier for participants to be distracted. They're in their home, they've got kids and maybe pets and things going on. They've got their phone there. It's just a bit more challenging to drive that idea that we can put a group of people together and get it to gel and get everyone moving forward and engaged in the task at hand.
I think a lot of people kind of don't realize as well, when it comes to interviewing somebody, even for radio, nonverbal cues are a huge thing when we have a guest in the studio. You know, that's something I'm constantly paying attention to. And that hasn't really transferred across then to stuff like Zoom conferencing for you guys.
More challenging, I would say, and more tiring. And it makes us think a lot more about the tools that are at our disposal in terms of body language and what we would usually do. It also, I think, makes it easier to add spontaneity. So if we have a group of people in our facility and we feel the language, the energy dipping, we might throw in a task or get them to move around or get them to do something else, which will then drive the energy up again. But, and we have a big shelf full of stuff in our room, which we can pull various things out of depending on what we think is appropriate. And of course, tools like that are not available to us online as well. So then if the energy is dipping, you have to think about how can I drive that energy and that engagement to bring it up again.
And how generally then, I mean, it's a big change, like you say, you know, you'd be used to hanging around with people, whether it's in a Mamak or anywhere else. What other changes have come to your business model? I mean, you must have made some other changes too.
Yeah, there are cost implications because I think clients expect online activities to be a lot cheaper than face-to-face activities, which is not always the case. The time involved can sometimes be more. And my concern as we move out of MEO, MCO and into the new normal is that if clients find that online is kind of okay-ish or good enough, that they won't appreciate the quality, the difference in quality that we can bring through working face-to-face, and that they will kind of consider online to be the new normal.
I think there are a lot of people are thinking that, aren't they? The discussion now is like, I don't need to go to a meeting anymore. I can do it all via Zoom. And that seems to be a lot of discussions that I'm hearing. On some hand, that's a great thing, but on others, not so good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when we come back to your question about Asia as well, I think we do know that while a lot of the techniques that we use are completely universal, despite what some people will tell you, and we can use or adapt techniques from that were developed, say, in Europe and apply them in Asia, there are some specific challenges that we face here. Some are functional and some are more cultural. So functionally, for example, if we work online, rather than hanging out with people, we might want them to contribute to almost like a Facebook-type private platform, which will help us understand their everyday life. So we might ask people to upload pictures or short videos. We might give them specific tasks to do. So instead of us going and hanging out at their house for a day or 2 days, we understand their behavior by them sharing to us. But for example, most of the platforms are created by Western developers in Western markets, and we rent them. And the rental is based on the assumption that a market has homogeneous language capabilities. So the cost is per person, per language. So obviously in Malaysia, if we want to have a good reach, we need to be working in a minimum of two and possibly three or even four languages. And then that becomes prohibitively expensive because we're paying four times what a client in Indonesia would be paying for the same service. I think culturally, we've run into some challenges. In the past, this kind of thing has been going on pre-MCO with the move online. It's just not something that we have pushed to the forefront. We don't think it's the best way to do it. We would still prefer to work directly when we have face-to-face contact, but, you know, needs must. But we understand in Asia, for example, that culturally that people react differently if you ask them to, say, write a paragraph about this brand, or particularly writing tasks seem to have different connotations here to expectations in maybe more Western markets. Maybe to do with the education system, not really sure. But we often find that we have to think really carefully about the type of questions and how we set it up and the type of tasks that we ask, so that we are really getting to the bottom of stuff and understanding those subconscious drivers. The way that we need to do it is possibly different to the received wisdom, which again is mostly based on experiences in Western markets.
You're tuned in to Powering Through the Pandemic here on Enterprise. We'll be back after these messages on BFM 89.9.
Bright, formidable media. BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. I'm Rich Bradbury. This is Powering Through the Pandemic here on Enterprise. I'm on the phone with Sophie Cox, who's the Managing Director of Firestar Research. She's been telling me how things have been during the MCO and now into the CMCO. More questions for Sophie before we quickly wrap up. Now, I've got a question here about people. And again, it's going back to this online thing. But it's more about, do you find that now people are, I don't know how to phrase it, are more willing to kind of take part in research now during the MCO? Because, you know, they can just log on to somewhere and they can just do that, and it's kind of killing time for them. Have you had that kind of experience?
Yeah, I think that when the MCO was in the stricter phase, there was a kind of a desire to communicate with the outside world, and we found it easier to find participants, and we found that, people were quite excited. And also, I think it's been, although not many clients have taken it, it's been a good opportunity to talk about things that are non-MCO related. I think a lot of people have kind of been a bit worn down by the constant news and the constant thoughts and the constant reference to it. And talking about something else, even if it's something like, you know, what do I give my kids for breakfast, has given people a bit of a mental break. But I do think that equally there are things that work at points of crisis and things that don't work. And obviously the information that we are collecting is slightly skewed because maybe people are thinking in a slightly different way. So it's appropriate for some research projects, but less so, I would say, for others.
Final question before I let you go. Do you think that the results that you get during this period, during the MCO period, would be different perhaps to the results that you would have gotten pre-MCO or post-MCO even?
Yes, I do. It comes back to the previous answer, really. I think
people seem to be more emotional. You know, they want to share. I don't know. Explain to me, Sophie.
I think not so much about that, but the level of uncertainty is focusing people's thoughts on certain things. So in the same way that in a completely normal and regular year, we wouldn't invite our Malay consumers to talk about food during Ramadan because you wouldn't get a clean, accurate take on what their thoughts are because the context is different. I think that's a good analogy for what's going on at the moment. I think everyone's thoughts and mindset are slightly different, and therefore the reactions that they are going to give us are going to be slightly different. And I think that specific categories need to be more careful than others. So financial categories, for example, I would think would not be reflected during the MCO in the same way that they were before. I think people's concern is heightened at this time for obvious reasons, and therefore the way that they're going to answer questions and the way that they're going to be thinking about financial products is going to be quite different.
Sophie, thank you very much for your time today.
You're more than welcome. Thank you.
That was Sophie Cox, the Managing Director of Firestar Research. You're tuned in to Powering Through the Pandemic here on BFM 89.9.
This is Powering Through the Pandemic on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.